Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and we're going to conclude this chapter, and we're going to read together verses, 63 through 72. Well, actually, I'll read it, but allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Peter Denies Christ. Peter Denies Christ. And one of the things that we can reflect in our own life before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is you and I were no different. You and I, in one point to another, somewhere in your life, in your BC years, we denied Christ. Whether someone witnessed to you, testified, tried to bring you to church, try to testify who God was, and we would reject it. I'm going to speak for myself, because I know there were several people I wanted to punch in the face because I didn't want to hear it. You know, and I would use my religion. You know how in the old vampire movies they would show a crucifix to fend off the vampire? Well, I would use the Catholic card. I'm a Catholic. You remember that, don't you? Get out of here with that Bible thing. So every one of us at one point in life, we have done the same thing. But we're going to see here in these verses of Scripture how God was dealing with Peter. And we're going to see something that probably you and I maybe have never seen before tonight. So I want to show you something, because a lot of times you got to peel scriptures, and a lot of times you got to go into the Hebraic root to find the true meaning. Can I get an amen? Remember we talked about during the Feast of Trumpets about the idioms? Okay, well, this is an idiom moment, not an idiot moment, an idiom moment, okay? Here we go. So, let's go. Verse 63, then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. This scene takes place. It was just right after they apprehended him from the Garden of Gethsemane, and they brought him into a night court. This was an illegal court. This was a monkey court. This was a court that should have been done in the day during working hours, okay? And it was all done in secret. It kind of sounds like what's happening right now. Oh, a secret. It's in secret, right? Okay, so then the high priest tore his clothes. What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. These religious people wanted to destroy him. Why? Because they were so distraught in their religion. They had no relationship with God. They didn't know the things of heaven. And so they wanted to destroy this man for all the miracles that he did. Remember, Jesus went town to town and all these Pharisees would follow. And he would have to confront them, says, if you don't believe me, then believe the miracles that I'm doing. And a lot of times, it'll take a miracle in someone's life to come to the cross. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. That's why it says to keep praying. Keep praying. A miracle's coming. 65. Then some began to spit on him. What? And to blindfold him and beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. These are the Roman soldiers now that were brought, and also King Herod's troops. All of them were all colluded. Are you familiar with that word today? Verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out of the porch, and a rooster crowed. I want you to catch that. And a rooster crowed. Verse 69. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." Just imagine if someone blew your cover. You were hiding. Someone called you out. Someone blew your cover. Wow. What do you say? What do you do at that time? But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Okay, what does that mean? Well, in layman's terms, he came from the hood. He was a common guy. He wasn't an intellect. He wasn't a professor. He wasn't a rabbi. He was a fisherman. His hands probably still smell like fish. Then he began to curse and swear. Oh, see? The hood is coming out. "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Verse 72, and a second time the rooster crowed. The rooster crowed. Okay. So they had Popeye chicken back then too. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me," what? Three times. And he thought about it and he wept. So let's go back to verse 63 and 64. It says, "Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be worthy of death." Now, tearing the clothes was against the law of Moses. Okay? So that was worthy of death, just to rent your clothes. But the only time it was permissible to rent the clothes is if you were talking blasphemy. Meaning you were saying something that was divine and you were making yourself to be divine. Okay, that was considered blasphemy. So that was permissible in the law of Moses. But let's look at that. Let's go back to Leviticus. Look at what it says. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not mourn, do not let your hair hang loose as a sign of your mourning, and do not tear your clothes. If you do, God will strike you dead." So man, right then and there, they knew, don't tear your clothes, God will strike you dead. Wow. And you know what? When God allowed Moses to write it, God meant it. Can I get an amen? Oh yes, don't play with God. Don't play. If God wrote it, man, don't even touch it. Can I get amen? If you do, God will strike you dead too. And his wrath will come upon all the people of Israel. But the rest of the people of Israel may lament the death of Nadab and Abihu and mourn because of the terrible fire the Lord has sent. So that's where we get the very first reference of don't rip your clothes in front of God and in front of God's people. Can I get amen? All right, so let's look at Leviticus 21:10. And it says, "The high priest anointed with special anointing oil and wearing the special garments must not let his hair hang loose in the morning, nor what? Tear his clothing, nor be in the presence of any dead person, even the father or mother." So there were some strange laws back then, but it was the Levitical priests, and it was the Levites, and it was the Pharisees and the scribes that would give the law of Moses to the people. Now, this only pertained to Israel. It didn't pertain to the heathen nations. The heathen nations, man, they had all kinds of idolatry going on. But this was meant for the called out ones, the ones that were chosen by God, which was the Hebrew people. So the law forbade a priest from tearing his garments over personal grief. But it was appropriate in an instant when blasphemy had been spoken in his presence, okay? So saints, blasphemy was the sin of claiming to be God or attacking God's authority and majesty in any way. So when we look at the contents of what we're reading in Mark, Caiaphas tore his clothing to signify his horror at the audacity of the claims of this mere teacher from Nazareth. So they hated him. They colluded against him. They mocked him. Every day they were trying to find dirt on the Messiah. My goodness. That hasn't changed in over, 2,000 years. Man, if there's people that hate you, they're going to continue to spew out against you. Can I get an amen? And so these religious leaders thought that Jesus was leading the people astray and bringing dishonor to God's holy name. For any other human being, saints, this claim would have been blasphemy. In this case, the claim was true because Jesus was God. Amen. And that probably they probably hated that even more. So what? So what if you hate it? So what if they hate you? So what if they hate me? Can I get an amen? I don't care. Hallelujah. God has sealed our faith with Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So blasphemy was punishable by death, according to the Levitical law. And so why do we need other witnesses? Asked Caiaphas without expecting any answer. Now, let's look at one more scripture reference in Leviticus. It's found in 24:15. And tell the people of Israel that anyone who curses his God must what? Pay the penalty. He must die. All the congregation shall stone him. This law applies to the foreigner as well as to the Israelite who blasphemes the name of Jehovah. He must die. So in their convoluted mind, they looked at Jesus, our Lord, as a blasphemer. But their heart was already against him. So they just wanted to add more fuel to the fire to justify his apprehension and what they wanted to do with him. So Jesus had incriminated himself. Caiaphas asked for their verdict. The Jewish leaders had the evidence they wanted, so they all condemned him to death. Because remember, they asked you, are you the Son of God? He goes, if you say I am, I am. Jesus just turned it around right on them. Jesus didn't have to boast in his deity. God opened up the eyes and the ears to those during that time, and they knew he was the Messiah. And the ones that had the faith the size of a mustard seed, the ones that would believe who he was, that's when healing came. Hallelujah, man. That's when the dead was being raised. Why? Because they had faith to believe. You know what blocks out your miracle? Doubt and unbelief. If you doubt and you have unbelief according to the predicament of your life, and you can't believe that God cannot handle that issue, well, guess what? He stands back and he just says, go ahead, be on your own. But I'll be there when you call upon me. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
After we get enough of ourselves. And then we set that aside, and then we're eating humble pie. Oh God, now I need you, Lord. Yes. And he's still there. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Hey, come on, give him a hand clap right now. Aren't you so blessed that he's not like us? You know, I love my wife to death. But there are every now and then, I mean, just really rare, we'll have that little cat fight. And then it's over. Because no one's perfect. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But God is perfect. And he doesn't roll like us. It's like, you know why I like to go to Disneyland? Because I love the roller coaster rides. I like to be on the very top, and all of a sudden, wham, there you go. I'm still a kid at heart. I hope you know that. I'm a 60-year-old kid running around in a park filled with kids. I still like to get on them rides. Can I get it? And she goes, oh, we got to go on that one again? I go, yeah, come on. But see, aren't you so thankful that God is not like us?
Yes.
He is so, remember back in the day there was a song, it was called Smooth Operator. Remember that? He's a smooth operator, man. I'm telling you, he's got everything under control. Come on. Man, nobody can get next to God. He's God all by himself. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed there are not three or four thrones? There's only one. And there is none that sits besides him. Come on. Let's move on to verse 65 in Mark chapter 14. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and beat him and to say to him, prophesy, prophesy. In other words, tell us who you think you are. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Man, these guys were vicious. They were snakes. Jesus called them vipers. Filled with whitewashed tombs. Meaning hell awaited them. Wow. Better get your punch in now. Get your punches in now. Because there was a hell awaiting these folks. Lest they repent. So saints, next some of the members of the council acted in a most brutish way. Jesus was blindfolded and they took turns hitting him. Just imagine, you can't see who's tagging you. Remember back in the day, man, when we used to rumble? Man, you saw the punches. You either got hit or you ducked or you hit first and made sure you got your lick in first, right? That was back in the day. He was blindfolded and he was tied and he couldn't see where the punches were coming. Lord have mercy. And they took turns hitting him and then asking him to tell who it was that hit him. Who was it? Was it me? Was it me? Mocking the King of Glory. Lord have mercy. And when they had finished with Jesus, the guards came and also beat him. Man, my goodness. The guards even beat Jesus. Yet even this had been prophesied in Scripture. See, this didn't take anybody by surprise. Because thousands of years prior to that moment, it was prophesied what would happen to him. Look at this in Isaiah 52. Yet many shall be amazed when they see him. Yes, even far off foreign nations and their kings, they shall stand dumbfounded, speechless in his presence. For they shall see and understand what they had not been told before. They shall see my servant beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know it as a person standing there. So shall he cleanse many nations. He had to take that beating for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He had to go to the cross. He had to die for us. He had to take that whooping for us. How many of you are so blessed to say, God, thank you that it wasn't me on the cross? Because all of us deserve that cross. But he took it all for us. And Isaiah prophesied this thousands of years so that he shall cleanse many nations. And if you take nations and you look at it in the Hebraic, in the Hebrew root word, and also in the Greek, hallelujah, it means ethnicity. Many different ethnic backgrounds. Look around in here. He died for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He died for us. Hallelujah. God, we serve a mighty God, a wonderful God. So Jesus suffered great pain, humiliation, and brutality to take away our sins, saints. Few of us get repeated opportunities, as Peter did, to profess or reject our allegiance to Christ. And so more often, our first denial of Jesus would keep away any further inquiries. So look at these next few verses that what they did that was written down by Matthew, by Luke. Matthew and Luke, you remember, there were other witnesses. That's why we have the four Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But look at this in Matthew 20:19, and will hand over to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify him. And on the third day he be raised up. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed he rose again? Oh, yes. Look what Luke says right up here. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And on the third day will rise again. He will rise on the third feast, the feast of first fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you, he's my hero. If there's any heroes in your life, it should be Jesus. Can I get amen? He's my hero. Hallelujah. He died, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he rose again. So that you and I can live forever. Come on. Hey, look. We're here but for a moment in this flesh. Can I get amen? We're here just for a moment. You know, I'm just going back to the day when my former mentor who trained me 25 years ago. I mean, we were conversing back and forth for many years. But his life is over now. That's how fast it is down here. That's how fast we're here but for a moment. This is why you and I, we need to say, God, use me every day. When I wake up, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, because I know my time's short. I'm on borrowed time. My days are numbered. You know every hair on my head that falls and the lack thereof. He knows all about us. He knows the day that we will close our eyes here on earth. And then we will open them again in glory.
Hallelujah.
Can I get amen? And so your prayers should be, oh, God, use me today, God. Use me today. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to say, oh, God, give me grace and mercy and use me, God. Especially when 3:30 rolls around. But it is not our identification with Peter's weakness, saints, that helps us most. Rather, what happened later becomes our source of hope. Peter's repentance and the Lord's restoration of him give us confidence that God can handle our failures. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We know he denied them. Well, so what? So did we. And yet he still what? Forgave you and me. Come on. We serve a mighty God. So let's move on to verse 66 here. It goes on to say right here. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming herself, she looked at him and said, hey, you were also with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and a what?
A rooster.
A rooster crowed. So this woman or this girl, she was in charge of the gate of the place where they had apprehended him on the courtyard. John talks about it. Look, but Peter stood at the door outside, and the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. So we all know throughout the Gospels that Jesus prophesied, you will deny me. You will deny me. You will deny me. And so during that time, what did Peter say? I will die for you, God. I mean, Jesus, I will die for you. Yeah, right. This is a little girl, probably 9 years old. And he said, I don't know him. Things change real quick, huh? So let me just say this. When real persecution comes, are you going to deny him? If we got invaded by China and Russia, or both of them together, are you going to deny the Lord? Uh-uh. Here I am, Lord, take me. It'll be quicker. Just take me, Lord. See, she had seen Peter's enter into that place, and Jesus' trial had been held in an upper story of the high priest's palace. Thus, Peter was below in the courtyard, and when the girl saw Peter's face more clearly in the light of the fire, she looked at him closely and recognized him as one who had been with Jesus. And that is one of Jesus' disciples. But now, there's a common problem when reading the scripture is that many translators, not us as readers, but the translators, you know, there's King James, there's NIV, okay, there's American Standard, you know, there's so many different translators, right? They were the ones that were ignorant of the Hebrew idioms and the phrases and the concepts of the culture of the first century. So this is why there's something that was very illustrated by a common misconception. It was found in this verse. Look at here. Matthew 26:34. That this very night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me what? Three times, right? Three times. So saints, let me just say this. We know that Jesus was arrested in the garden and brought to the elders, and Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest. We read that tonight, right? And we're reminded of that. So Peter denies the Lord, and immediately the cock crowed, and he remembered what the Lord had said previously, and he wept, what? Bitterly. Now, we got to look at this a little deeper now. Let's look at this. The word giver in Hebrew can mean man, or what? Or rooster. And in the Greek, the word used here is alector, which means a rooster, okay? So saints, it was erroneously decided by the translators to use rooster. Because there is a problem. Roosters and chickens were not allowed in the city of Jerusalem while the temple stood. Even today. How many, Sister Rachel, you've been to Israel many times. You've been on the Temple Mount many times, haven't you? You've been around the old city, right? You don't see any chickens or roosters running around. You don't. You just don't. So saints, it was erroneously by the translators that said it was a rooster, a bird. Okay? So roosters and chickens are dirty and can find their way in and out of almost anything. So as a result, there was a ruling that they were not allowed in the city for fear they would find their way into the temple and the Holy of Holies. So my question is this, how can this verse be rectified? So the rooster and the rooster, which is also a cock or a rooster, like cock-a-doodle-doo, in this passage was not a rooster, but a man called the temple crier. So there was a man, three times in the morning, he would cry out for the service to begin, especially during Passover, because Passover had come. This wasn't a rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, because there was none in the temple. Are you catching this? It was called the temple crier, and it was his job to announce the morning Tamid service in the temple. So he would cry out aloud in the temple, and it would be heard everywhere, because it was in the wee night that the service was about to take place. And so by giving a threefold cry for the priest to prepare for the service, for the Levites to go to their post, and for this right here. It's called the Ma'ad, standing men to come and to worship. So it was an announcement. Come, now we need to worship because the service is about to begin. It was a town crier, not an animal, that said cock-a-doodle-doo. So ignorance of the temple practices by translators has caused a problem in understanding this verse. This rooster was actually a man, and this has been confirmed by many historians and commentators such as Josephus. As Jesus was being led out of the courtyard very early in the morning on that Passover day, the temple crier's voice was heard by Jesus and Peter, telling the people that the sacrifice was getting ready to be offered. Wow. This is all ties in, doesn't it? You know, throughout my whole Christian life for 30 years, I was thinking, man, they had probably Popeye's chicken somewhere. Somewhere on that, on the old city, or KFC or something. It wasn't a rooster. It wasn't a bird. It was a town crier. And Jesus said, after the second one, you will deny me three times. My. This is a what do you call it? Aha moment. Amen. To some. Can I get amen? Amen? It was for me when I studied it. I go, aha! It never makes sense. No, because they're not, those animals are not allowed on the temple. Even till today, they are not allowed on there. So what was it? You see, you have to look in the Hebraic root. You have to also look at the writings of, you know how we have forefathers of our Constitution? Well, there were forefathers of the nation of Israel who wrote books too during that time, which accommodated. Now, the word of God is the highest form of truth. Can I get amen? But they were also witnesses that saw eye. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard it with their own ears, and they wrote it down, like Josephus and many others. So praise God. So we know from archaeology that the priestly housing was very near to the southwestern of the wall temple. And there are some who think they have found the very house where Jesus' hearing took place. And the very courtyard has been found. Wow. So let's move on to verse 69. We've got about 10 minutes here. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this was one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear. The old sailor came out. I do not know this man of whom you speak. Wow. And so, once again, Peter was put to the test. Another servant girl saw him. Look at this in Matthew 26:71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl. So there was another girl. See, we all think it was one girl, huh? Another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fella also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Man, you see, the Bible says that two witnesses establishes a truth. So if you have two or three, this is why the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, I'm in the midst. You know why? Because the two or three will testify that he's there with us. It becomes a witness in our soul. Thank you, God. See, if you're all by yourself, yeah, man, God's all in me and everything. Well, you know, and then you go share it with some, really? Well, that's good for you, but I wasn't there. But when there's two or three and the anointing falls, look out. Hallelujah. Just two or three, a revival will bust loose. Can I get amen? Yeah. So she didn't question him. She began telling the others around Peter that he was indeed one of them, meaning one of Jesus' disciples. But he denied it again. So this was the second denial. And about an hour passed, and some other bystanders also recognized. So two little girls, and then a whole bunch of folks. Look at this. Luke 22:59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. So the word got out. The word got out. And right here in Matthew, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, now There was others. Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the town crier. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and he wept bitterly. So now it had set in. Now, during that time, now he recalls what Jesus had said to him. You know, a lot of times in life, God will say something to us through his word, through the preaching of the word, maybe through a saying of God, and it doesn't take effect yet. And then down the road, you go, oh, okay, I remember that was spoken to me. And now it's here right before me. Wow. This is what happened. So Peter's dialect was closer to being Syrian speech to that of the Judean servants in that Jerusalem courtyard, but it was very salty. While Peter may have hoped to seem a natural part of the group by joining in the conversation, instead, he revealed by his speech that he did not even belong there. Wow. Once again, Peter lied, this time more vehemently. So Peter decided to make the strongest denial that he could of by denying with an oath. He said, I swear by God, I do not know him. I don't know this man. I swear by God. Wow, really? Jesus, help us. Help us, God. So we're going to look at the last verse and close. And a second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said, and before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. So all the Gospels is clear with this. Can I get amen? So saints, immediately upon Peter's final words, the town crier for the second time pronounced to come and worship, for the service is about to begin. And when Peter heard that, and then he saw Jesus look down at him from the upper story where the trial was being held. Jesus' previous words were flashed through his mind. Peter had indeed denied Jesus three times before the town crier fulfilled his three cries. And what it says in Luke here, it says here, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, again, it was the town crier. The Lord turned. Look, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter, man, just imagine. You got eye contact with Jesus while he's being beaten to death. He looked at Peter. Wow. Reality sat in, didn't it? It sunk in. Lord, have mercy. And so Peter broke down and cried, not only because he realized that he had denied the Lord, our Messiah, but also because he had turned away from a very dear friend. Jesus was a friend. Unable to stand up for his Lord for even 12 hours, he had failed as a disciple and as a friend. Listen, when you're in a pickle and you're in a predicament and all your friends don't show up to help you, you only have one person to turn to, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So fortunately, saints, the story does not end here. Peter's tears were of true sorrow and repentance. Peter reaffirmed his love for Jesus. And Jesus, aren't you so blessed? Jesus forgave him. Hallelujah. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to all of them. And he embraced all of them. And he forgave all of them. Especially Peter, who ran out. Like with his tail between his legs, running away. Especially from the first two little girls. And from this humiliating experience, Peter learned much that would help him later when he became leader of the young church. So look at this. And then we close right here. This is when Jesus rose again. And he was seen by over 500 people. But he specifically came back to his disciples to just testify of his resurrection. And look at the dialogue he had with Peter. John 21:15-18. So when they had eaten breakfast, remember, he saw them on the shore, right? And he came to them. And he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Then tend to my sheep." Verse 17, and he said to him the third time, this is after Jesus' resurrection, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved now. It's like, come on, man. You have to ask me again? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Saints of God, I leave you this question, and then we pray. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Because there are going to be times when all we have is Jesus. And continue to feed his lambs. Continue to tend to them. Continue to feed his sheep. And what does that mean? That means we are now the mouthpieces. We are now the disciples. The apostles are gone. Those men of 2,000 years ago are gone. We are the new disciples. Can I get amen? And we need to continue with the blood-stained banner. We need to proclaim. We need to teach. We need to raise up. We need to sow into people's lives. Can I get amen? We need to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the conclusion of chapter 14 in the book of Mark. Lord, prepare me, Lord, for chapter 15 next week. But Lord, thank you for the saints of God that have pressed out tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work mightily in our lives, oh God. And Lord, that we would never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles, God. Father, continue, Lord, to pour out blessings of healing upon us. Continue to restore our minds from the past. Continue to heal our bodies, Lord, for the things that we once were involved in, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would restore relationships where they look like there is no hope and it's all destroyed and it's toe up from the flow up. Oh, God, only you can do the miraculous. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling financially, God, that you would pour out. Lord, I am just praying, Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us to righteousness and that you would continue to impute upon us, impart upon us, continue, God, to bless our lives, oh God, with your holy presence. And encamp your angels around our home, oh God. Keep the evil one away, Lord. That when it's all said and done, Lord, that we would glorify thee and magnify thee. Hallelujah. I'm praying for those who are listening to this message that's never given their heart to Jesus. We want to pray with you. We here at Amazing Grace want to pray with you. And if that's you and God is calling you to repent, to turn from your sin, to turn to the to the cross, to give your heart to Jesus, pray this simple prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's not just a prayer that we just say. No, you need to come with a heart of repentance. You need to confess your sin and turn to God who could cleanse you and wash you and renew you and raise you from your dead spirit. And God will do the miraculous. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on. Jesus is worthy. Amen. Hallelujah, saints of God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.